Our second scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the 21st chapter. Listen for God's word to you. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you that this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. God, we thank you for your word. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, as we enter this Advent season, we thank you for the words we heard read from your holy book. And now, as we listen to these words which come from my lips, I most humbly pray that you would pour through me the gift of preaching, that they would remain no longer simply my words, but instead be transformed into your living word to each and every person who hears them, that he or she might be met in exactly his or her place of need. We pray this, God, in great anticipation and in the strong name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. In the movie Heaven Can Wait, Joe Pendleton has the world by the tail. He is a football player, a second-string quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams, and they are having a fabulous year. Joe has never, ever started, but this year, as the team is headed toward the Super Bowl, it looks like it's going to be his chance. He is so excited. He is about to have everything that he's dreamed for, worked for. And then, as he is working out, riding his bike down the mountain, going through a tunnel, coming up the other side of the tunnel is a car passing a van. They enter the tunnel from one side as he enters from the other, and you hear a great crash. The next scene shows Joe apparently walking on a cloud with what you assume is an angel. Joe is making his way toward a way station where he will be then sent to heaven beyond. And it appears that it is the end of everything. The end of his life, the end of his dreams for a Super Bowl victory, the end of his days. The scripture lesson that we heard this morning for the first Sunday in Advent is also about the end of days. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and it appears like they have the world by the tail as well. This is nearing the end of his ministry, but for all intents and purposes, to their eyes, he's in the midst of a very successful run. He is teaching, he is preaching, he is healing, he is well known and revered. I mean, yeah, there are some Pharisees and some scribes who aren't particularly fond of him, but for the most part, things seem to be going really well. And then Jesus starts talking about these signs, these apocalyptic signs about the sun and the moon and the stars and the heaven and the earth and the waves and the seas. And he's not just talking about his end. He's talking about the world's end. This is apocalyptic language, and I am sure that the disciples are wondering what the heck is going on. Nadia Boltz-Weber says we are in an apocalyptic time now as well. I mean, and it does feel sometimes as though certainly what Jesus is talking about here is happening, doesn't it? I mean, we went from hurricanes to wildfires in California to an earthquake in Alaska this past week with the tsunami threatening beyond it. And on top of what we see going on with natural disasters, the world is also in a crazy place in the news, is it not? I mean, it seems like every time you turn around, you hear about trade wars or the war in Yemen and starving children or a journalist who is murdered in Saudi Arabia or tariffs or something that is just out of bounds. The word apocalypse comes from apocalypto. Apocalypto means to pull back, to reveal, to uncover. And it certainly seems as though there is a lot being revealed right now, isn't it? And yet, I think we would more than anything, I know I, more than anything, would just like to kind of hunker down and not look at any of it, but just sort of live in my own world, which is going pretty well. But Jesus too, who seems to be talking about an apocalyptic time, says that is not the way we respond in apocalyptic times. He says, no, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is near. Now, how can it be that in the midst of apocalypse, there's also redemption right there? This word for redemption is apolytrosis. Starts with the same piece. You hear that? The apocalyptic apolytrosis. And apolytrosis actually doesn't really mean redemption. It can be translated as redemption. It can be translated as deliverance. But what it really means is from loosening, to loosen from. Do you hear what that actually is? What is it when you are loosed from something? You're free. There is freedom. Jesus says, look up, lift up your heads, for there is freedom. Freedom to be the people that God made us to be. Freedom to do the things that God made us to do. In the midst of apocalypse, we are not to hunker down and hide. No, we are to look up and to be the people God imagines us to be. Joe Pendleton, as he is being taken toward heaven, says, No, I'm not going there. Heaven can wait. I've got too much to do. I've got things to do, people to see, Super Bowls to win. Put me back in my body now. And the angels recognize that his resistance is out of the ordinary, and they check the records and discover that he was taken too soon. The angel that was removing him from earth didn't want him to be harmed in the crash, so he took him an instant early, and the fact was he would have survived it. So he shouldn't have been taken, and he should be given back, except Joe's body has been cremated. So he says, well, give me a new body. I'll go to the Super Bowl in a new body. And they hunt, and they look, and they finally find a body that isn't exactly suitable, but it's all they can find. It's this guy named Leo Farnsworth. Now, Leo Farnsworth is a bad dude. Leo Farnsworth is a business magnet. He is wealthy out of bounds, but really has gotten everything the wrong way. And the reason he is dying. The reason that Joe can be placed into his body is because his wife, who is also just not a paragon of virtue, has poisoned him with the help of his assistant, with whom she happens to be having a relationship. It's just a mess all the way around. And Joe enters into Leo Farnsworth's body, and you would think that he would immediately be a bit concerned about the world that he has stepped into. This world in which all of a sudden he has all sorts of projects and business opportunities that he's kind of been doing a little shakily on the sly. Leo, I mean, not Joe. In addition to a wife and a personal assistant who are trying to murder him, but none of this concerns Joe at all. Joe could care less. Joe is concerned about being Joe. And Joe is a guy who wants to do the right thing. He begins not only transforming the business so that Leo's business interests are now doing the right thing, but he also begins training Leo's body for the Super Bowl, and he buys the Los Angeles Rams so he can try out for them. Now, all of this sounds like a crazy tilting at windmill story that could only happen in Hollywood, right? Well, maybe. But maybe there is something in that that also has something to say to us and to this scripture lesson this morning. Jesus goes from talking about the apocalypse, from the sun and the moon and the stars and the waves and the scary business of apocalypse, to telling a parable about a fig tree, about new shoots sprouting, new life coming forth. And when you see that new life, when you see those new shoots, you know that the kingdom is near. So once again, we have this juxtaposition of the horror show that is going on in the world around and the new life, the new vitality of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And you see, I think that is because heaven can't wait. Heaven wants to be here, right now. And the inbreaking of the kingdom is the good news of the gospel. That in Jesus Christ, heaven is here on earth in little snippets, in little moments, in little spots. That was true in Jesus' time with his presence on earth, and that is true in our time with yours. So I tell you, in this day and age, when things are crazy out there, when we are concerned all the time about what is going on with our world, natural and unnatural. But what we are to do in the midst of it is look up. Lift up your heads. For your redemption is near. The kingdom of heaven is near in you, in me, in us. It is a time of expectation. It is a time of listening and watching and waiting and being alert, but it is also a time of knowing that you, every one of you, are a part of the promise. Heaven can't wait. Heaven can't wait to exist right here, right now, in and through you. Me, us, with the help of God in Jesus Christ. May it be so. Amen.